One of the things that Solomon opens up with here in chapter 15 is letting his children know the importance of choosing life over death. Aquí en estas escrituras que nos da Salomón por sus hijos es de que les quiere enseñar a escoger la vida y no la muerte. Entonces, en los versículos que vamos a leer nos dan principios muy bonitos en cómo buscar el camino que nos lleva a la vida eterna. And so we're going to learn some basic principles in scripture that will lead us to the way of life rather than the way of death. And that's what we're going to study today in Proverbs chapter 15. So I've titled today's sermon, Choose Life Over Death. Le llamé al sermón de ahora, Escoja la vida y no la muerte. Okay, so let's go to verses 24 to 27 and begin today's study. Vamos a los versículos 24 al 27 y comenzar los estudios de hoy. It says, the path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. La senda de vida para el sabio es hacia arriba, para que se aparte de Seol que está abajo. El Señor derribará la casa de los soberbios, pero afianzará los linderos de la viuda. Abominación al Señor son los planes perversos, mas las palabras agradables son puras. Perturba su casa el que tiene ganancias ilícitas, pero el que aborrece el soborno vivirá. So the first point I want to give you in scripture here is seek after the things, the eternal things that bring him honor, okay? El primer punto que les quiero dejar, busca las cosas eternas que honran al Señor. Notice how it opens up. The path of the life lead upwards for the wise. Isn't that true? We go to heaven, not Seol or hell on the bottom, right? Or death. And so one of the things he says that he may keep away from Sheol. All right? Dice en español, la senda de la vida para el sabio es hacia arriba, para que se aparte de Seol, que está abajo. Entonces, una de las cosas que nos enseña la palabra, que cuando caminamos en el Señor y sus preceptos, su palabra, nos va a llevar hacia arriba, a los cielos. The more we stay intact with the Lord and his principles in scripture, the more we're going to live for heaven. We're not going to end up in that place where rebels go, that sin against God. And so the way of life is above for the wise. El camino para los sabios y es para arriba. Okay? Now, one of the things, when your life is over here on earth and you take your last breath, you're going to find out that the choice you made, if you chose life, is the wisest thing you could have ever have done. Just think about that. If God is not real, if he didn't exist, and you still live for Jesus, what's the worst that can come of it? Right? What do you lose? Nothing. You gain so much more by living the way upward than you do the way going down. Es muy bonito, ¿verdad? Vivir para Cristo porque no perdemos nada. Si dice la gente, ay, si no hay Dios y todo, ¿qué pierdo yo si vivo para Cristo y no existe? Nada. Porque toda la vida que nos da el Señor es muy saludable, es muy hermosa. See, when we live for Christ, our lives are healthy lives and no longer held captive by demonic forces. We now do the things that God has called us to do. So when our life is over, we know where we're heading because of what he did on the cross for us. Nosotros cuando ya se acaba la vida, sabemos para dónde vamos. See, but there's people that make choices every day to go to hell. And there's not a lot of people like to preach on hell, but Jesus preached on hell more than anybody else. And so we have to make a fact of it. Hell exists, and it is not meant for God's children. El infierno existe, pero no está asignada para los hijos y las hijas del Señor. So the way of life is above to the wise. ¿Verdad? La vida, el camino a la vida, sí es arriba para los sabios. See, and if we live in God's ways, we're heading toward heaven, not because we're good, but because God was good. Y si vamos a los cielos, vamos a los cielos por Él, porque Él es bueno, no nosotros. ¿Verdad? Entonces, tenemos que realizar que las cosas que queremos aquí en la tierra, temporales, no son tan importantes comparado con lo que Dios quiere para nosotros. I want you to realize this. When you see what earth offers, right? Those do not compare to what our God offers us. The things of heaven are tremendous. The things that are here are temporal, right? So we have to live a spiritual life and continue living that spiritual life no matter how hard life gets here on earth. Aquí en la tierra tenemos que vivir la vida espiritual, no carnal. No le hace que dura se ponga la vida. Hay que buscar las cosas espirituales como la palabra de Dios. See, we have to search out things that are eternal, like the Word of God. And so as we get firmer in the worries of God and the Word of God, then we realize that's where we get the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, when we study it. Cuando estudiamos la palabra de Dios, ahí es donde recibimos la sabiduría de Dios. What does the world seek? Drugs, alcohol, right? All the things that they think they need, but they don't. They perish with those things. Money, right? Issues such as the clubs, the partying, all these things that you saw on New Year's Eve, right? In the world, that's all they think about, the temporary. But the Christian, right, on the other hand, looks for the things that are filled with God's wisdom. And this is how we should start every year, looking for the things of wisdom that God offers. Hay que buscar las cosas de sabiduría que Dios nos da. All the things that are apart from the world, that they seek, apart from God, those things are leading to the road that goes down to Sheol. It's going to the hell in a handbasket, right? That's the things that they're choosing. But the Bible always tells us, look for the things that are eternal. The eternal things are what's going to help you understand the concept of eternal security in Christ. Vas a poder entender la seguridad eterna si buscas las cosas eternas de Dios. Matthew 6:33, let's go there. Vamos a San Mateo 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things in life, right, will be added to you. Pero busca primero su reino y su justicia, y todas estas cosas de la vida os serán añadidas. That's where we find the key of true contentment in Christendom. We seek the things of God first, because those things are what's going to bring us joy in the midst of this fallen world. Esas son las cosas que vamos a buscar nosotros eternas, porque es lo que nos da gozo aquí en un mundo caído. Remember that there's only two destinations, that's it. There's heaven, life, or hell, death, that's it. Hay dos destinaciones, la vida o la muerte, el infierno, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas, tenemos que escoger qué vamos a hacer. It reminded me of the words of Joshua in chapter 24, verse 15, where he said this statement. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's go there. Joshua 24:15. Vamos a Josué 24:15, donde dice, yo en mi hogar serviremos a Jehová. Look at what it says in the whole verse. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, in other words, if you're rebelling, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, he told Israel. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, the world is full of idolatry right now. And many people are choosing to serve idols instead of the Lord. And the Lord says, you've got to make a choice. Two destinations. What's it going to be? And if you choose life, that's the way that goes up to heaven. If you choose death, that goes down to Sheol. Look at what it says in Spanish. Y si no os parece bien servir al Señor, le dice Josué a su pueblo, escoger hoy a quién habéis de servir. Si a los dioses que sirvieron vuestros padres que estaban al otro lado del río, o a los dioses de los amoreos en cuya tierra habitarás. Pero yo y mi casa serviremos al Señor. En ese tiempo había mucha idolatría en Israel. Y les dice claramente, sirve tus ídolos, esos van los caminos para abajo, a Seol. Pero si sirves al Señor, vas a los caminos de arriba. Tenemos que escoger, nomás hay dos destinos, la vida o la muerte. Y hay que escoger, ¿ok? Yo y mi casa serviremos a Jehová. ¿Ok? So remember, one of the things is that the path of life leads upward for the wise. But if you're foolish, it leads you down. That's what people don't understand. They may be thinking they're winning right now or having what they want in their life that they need, eventually it's going to lead down to destruction. That's all it is. El mundo anda perdido ahorita. Ellos piensan que tienen, van ganando y tienen la vida que quieren, gloriosa, pero tristemente va a la destrucción. You know, one of the things about New Year, how many people woke up with a hangover? ¿Cuánta gente en el nuevo año se amanecieron crudos? Y esa es la vida. Y ahí andan despertándose tarde, sintiéndose mal, ¿verdad? Y otra vez a tomar para que me calme. ¿Qué clase de vida es esa? ¿Se acuerdan la vida que teníamos antes? Estábamos perdidos. You remember that life, right? When we were lost, we would do those kind of things. Party on New Year's. And then in the morning we'd wake up and we ask, why did I do that? We wouldn't feel good all day. We were out of it. Now in Christ, praise God. I don't remember how it feels to have a hangover anymore. Praise God for that. It's enjoyment now with our families. We spend the holidays with our families, do the healthy things that God tells us and gives us. Vamos y celebramos en santidad. Estamos con las familias haciendo las cosas que agradan a Dios. Es muy precioso ya. El camino que va arriba trae muchos beneficios. The road that leads to life brings a lot of blessings to the Christian. Don't forget that. Look at verse 25. Vamos al versículo 25, de Proverbios 15. Let's go to Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Dice, el Señor derribará la casa de los sobrios, pero afianzará los linderos de la viuda. That's another thing. What robs you of going into heaven? Pride. ¿Qué te roba de entrar a los cielos? El orgullo, ¿verdad? ¿Y qué dice el Señor? Yo romperá la casa del orgulloso. Right? God says he's going to tear down the house of the proud. And there's no way you can get into heaven with self-sufficient pride. It will not work. No puedes entrar a los cielos por el orgullo de ti mismo, autosuficiente. Entonces, ¿verdad? Dice aquí que el Señor derribará la casa de los soberbios. ¿Verdad? Entonces es algo que enseña que a la viuda la cuida. And yet the Lord says, I take care of the widow. And one of the things he says, humility is required. Why is it bad to be proud in your own abilities? Because you're taking God out of the equation. ¿Por qué es tan mal ser orgulloso de tus habilidades? Porque estás sacando, ¿verdad?, al Señor de la ecuación de tu vida. See, when a worldly person has pride, their chest puffs up. And they want all the credit for doing everything they've done. And see, this is one of the hardest issues I have with Donald Trump. He always exalts himself instead of the one who gave him the gifts. It's ugly. Pride is stenchy before the Lord. Understand that. And one of the things is, if you humble yourself, though, and you become like the widow, that you need the Lord, that you need someone to help you, like the Lord, then God does many more great things in your life. But pride is wicked, remember that. Pride is something that the Lord detests and he will get away from. In other words, he will resist the proud but give grace to the humble. This is what you have to understand. El orgullo es algo muy malo cuando el hombre se hincha. Esa es una de las cosas de Donald Trump que me molesta. Cuando hace algo, se echa toda la crema en los tacos. Y no es de él la crema. ¿Sí me entienden? Es lo que no me gusta, pero hace cosas buenas, ¿verdad? No me malentiendan. Pero la cosa es que cuando el hombre es orgulloso, acuérdense, el Señor dice, no, esas cosas yo destruyo. You've seen how many people boast in their abilities. And you see how many people fall on their face when God finally has to tear everything out because they were going the wrong way. Yo he mirado mucha gente que dice, hago esto y estoy tremendo, ¿verdad? Tengo muchos talentos. Y el Señor viene y los humilla. One of the reasons the Lord humbles the rich and the proud many times is so they can come to him. And one of the reasons he does that, right, is because of their pride and arrogance. Look at what I've done. Look at what I can do. And look at my kingdom. Kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar. Miren mi reino, así como el rey Nebuchadnezzar, ¿verdad? Y entonces when you see this, what does he say? I will destroy the house of the proud, just like King Nebuchadnezzar, taking credit for what God did, and he was eating with the goats. That's what God will do with the proudful people of this earth one day. You ask me if the Lord has been merciful and patient. And I'll show you a God who's slow to anger because of what everything prideful man has done. He could have burned this place up in any time, any era he wanted to. But he hasn't, because he loves people and he doesn't want them to perish. El orgulloso, ¿verdad? El Señor ha sido muy bueno con ellos, muy paciente. Porque si de veras querías destruir los hombres orgullosos aquí en la tierra, ya lo hubiera hecho. Han hecho tantas abominaciones contra él. They have done so many abominations against him. See, one of the things is, you have to understand, pride has no place in ministry, in your life as a Christian. Pride in the Lord, yes, but not pride in self. Hay que tener orgullo, pero no en nosotros. Orgullo en el Salvador que servimos. Why? Because if you don't, the Lord will destroy your house. El Señor dice aquí planamente que el Señor va a destruir la casa de los soberbios. Don't be a proud person. Continue to lead in humility. Entre más sirves en humildad, más Dios te va a usar. See, there's many people that think they're mighty without God. And that's a big mistake. Hay mucha gente que piensa que son muy fuertes sin el Señor. But one day the Lord will show them the truth. Who is God and who is in charge? El Señor les va a enseñar un día a estas personas que son orgullosas. But then you see the contrast, the widow, the weak, right? He says, the weak I'll lift up. If they confide in me, I'll lift them up. Aquí miras lo opuesto, ¿verdad? Cuando está débil la viuda, y si no tiene sus recursos ni nada, y entonces dice, yo establezco sus bordes. I will establish her borders. In other words, I will keep her and hold her together. As long as she remains humble, dependent on me, and becomes lonely, that will make them strong spiritually. And this is what he's saying in the Lord. Una de las cosas que dice en la palabra, ¿verdad? Y lo que está haciendo en el Señor, que los orgullosos que sirven al Señor, ¿verdad? El Señor dice, yo destruyo esa casa porque no la estoy haciendo yo. La está haciendo tú, y lo que tú haces apartados de mí es vanidad. And this is one of the things that Solomon was saying. When you build your own house, you're building in vain unless the Lord builds it. And this is what he's saying here. So he takes the weak, toma lo débil, ¿verdad? Así como las viudas. Y establece sus bordes, las detiene, las fortalece y las bendice. And so he takes the widow, he strengthens them, establishes their border. And one of the things that the children of Israel, remember what they did. They had many battles that God had won for them. And the moment they got proud, what would happen to them? Their house would be destroyed as well. Cuando Israel tenía muchas victorias, hasta destruía gigantes. Cuando se les iba la cabeza, que sea el Señor, destruía sus casas. ¿Por qué? No quiere a nadie en que sirva con ese orgulloso actitud. See, he doesn't want that artificial, arrogant service in his kingdom. He desires that his children, when something is done in and through them for God's glory, that they give all the credit to God. Lo que el Señor designó para nosotros, que cuando hacemos algo bueno, algo poderoso para su reino, que toda la gloria se le vaya a él. Amén. Nunca debe de ser para nosotros. ¿Cuántos se acuerdan de Gideon también? How many of you remember Gideon? And Gideon also, right? He was taught that lesson. He said, I don't care how big your army is. If it's 22,000, I don't care. I'll bring it down to 10,000 in an instant, and then I'll leave you with 300. And you fight those Midianites, those enemies of God, and I'll show you who's God. Así le hizo con los Gedeones, ¿verdad? Cuando tenían mucha gente, les quitó su ejército, 22,000, los bajó a 10,000 y luego a 300. Y les estaba enseñando, miren, la batalla es mía. Y cuando yo estoy haciendo cosas en tu vida, yo soy el que la está haciendo, no tú. No te hinches, porque rápido caes de cara. Yo destruyo esas obras de soberbia. And so God says, I destroy those kinds of works of the proud. Let's go to Psalm 22:26, I'm sorry. Salmo 22:26. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. In other words, those that are meek. Los pobres comerán y se saciarán. Los que buscan al Señor le alabarán. Viva vuestro corazón para siempre. Los que son, ¿verdad?, mansos, esos son los que comen tan satisfechos porque saben que Dios es el que les da. See, those that are weak and that they are meek. They shall eat, and it says here they'll be satisfied. Why? Because they understand their provision comes from God. See, proudful man says, I work, I get the things, I do these things, I do those things, I supply for my home. And they don't realize by grace they're getting those things. Because the one who feeds this planet of 8 billion people is the Lord in his mercy every single day. Even though people may not realize it, he feeds everyone in the world. Because he could change weather, he could change the axis and rotation of the earth, he could make everything die in an instant, and they'll see who God is. This is what you have to understand about God. He is a God for the meek and the mild. Look at verse chapter 25 of Psalm 25, verse 9. Vamos al Salmo 25, 9. Salmo 25, versículo 9. Psalm 25, verse 9. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. Dirige a los humildes en la justicia y enseña a los humildes su camino. Qué bonito cuando somos humildes porque Dios se glorifica en medio de lo que está haciendo en su justicia para nosotros. The more we humble ourselves, the more justice comes into our life through Christ's mercy and grace. See, and what Solomon is saying here, you don't want to be a proud and arrogant person who no one can teach anything. No quieres hacer una persona orgullosa o arrogante porque no se te puede enseñar nada. Have you ever met a person like that? You can't teach me anything new. ¿Nunca has conocido a alguien que dice, no me puedes enseñar algo nuevo? Right? So what the Lord is saying, don't stiffen your neck and think it's you carrying the load. Understand that Christ is the one that permits you to carry the load. Entiendan que el Señor es el que lo hace cargar el peso en su vida. El Señor es el que te fortalece. No te hagas de cuello duro y pensar que tú estás sosteniéndote solo o sola. Right? One of the things about the Lord, he is present in our life. And he's the one who provides for all of us. He is better. He is stronger. He is almighty. He's sovereign. He's transcendent. This is the God we serve. Este es el Dios que servimos. Es el Dios todopoderoso, ¿verdad? Es el Dios que está fuerte y poderoso. Es el Dios de los ejércitos. Y ninguno de nosotros tuviera la vida que tenemos hoy si no fuera por nuestro Salvador. Amén. Entonces, comparados a Dios, ¿qué somos nosotros? Compared to God, what are we? So how can we raise ourselves? Any. When we understand compared to God, we are nothing. And apart from God, we are nothing. ¿Verdad? Cuando nos queremos comparar así como Dios y ser alguien grande y sabes cómo te hizo de tierra, dices, no, Señor, no me puedo comparar, perdóname. Get rid of the stiff neck and the hardened heart. Piérdete el corazón duro y el cuello duro. See, it's interesting because when you realize that and you come to God always as a humble vessel, God hears and listens and he will provide you with the strength you need to get through certain things in life. We all go through different things in life. And when we think, oh, I'll get through this, and when you find yourself saying, I or I'll get through this, get rid of that language. Lord, help me to get through this. We will get through this because I know, Lord, you are faithful. It's very different. When we have the word I in our vocabulary, it's that we're used to doing things on our own. And God says, nope, that's pride. Get rid of that vocabulary. Quítate ese vocabulario que yo voy a hacer esto, que yo voy a hacer, ¿verdad? Le digo esto el yo-yo síndrome, ¿verdad? Piérdelo, porque cuando estás usando yo, no estás incluyendo a Dios. ¿Cuántas veces hacemos cosas y dejamos a Dios atrás? Porque yo quiero ser de mi manera. Porque los chicharrones nomás trenan aquí. No podemos. Tenemos que todo el tiempo entender, sin Él no hacemos nada. Without Him, we are nothing. Miren el versículo 26 de Proverbios 15. Go back to Proverbs 15, verse 26. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. Abominación al Señor son los planes perversos, mas las palabras agradables son puras. You cannot make plans that you know go against God's word. If you do plan to do something or have a project this year, make sure that it's not a project that you're trying to get away with something when God says don't do it that way. Don't plan the way evil people plan. Oh Lord, but it's a shortcut, it's better. No, it's not. If you have to take the longer way, and that is the plan of Christ for you, take the longer way. Do not plan in an evil way also against others. In other words, when people come to you and they give you a hard time, right? One of the things is you want to get back at them. Many times, that's not the way of God. Cuando alguien te lastima, una de las cosas que tú vas a querer hacer es recoger el ladrillo de volada. No lo hagas. Porque ese no es el modo del Señor. Son una abominación al Señor esos tipos de planes. Y cuando haces una plan, hazla del modo de la Escritura. Porque el diablo va a querer a venir a tentarte a hacer algo, una tontería que te va a costar, algo pesado. Sí, the devil will try to tempt you to come up with ideas or plans that have nothing to do with Christ and His Word. When you do that, even if it looks prosperous, do not take that route. Just say, Lord, no, I'm going to do it the way you say in Scripture. And I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to circumvent what you've begun in my life. And you keep going. Don't be tempted to go the way of the world when these temptations come. Stay to the truth. Stick to the truth, right, that God has for you. See, because the people in the world that are apart from God, it's foolishness that they think when they plan these kind of things. And they think they're going to prosper. Cheating on your taxes, doing all these things. Those are foolish. Las planes, ¿verdad?, que hace gente, voy a mentir en mis taxes para agarrar más. No vale la pena. Todo lo que te hace el enemigo y te lo pone ahí con una zanahoria muy deliciosa, la muerdes, vas a caer en problemas. Remember, he's very smart. He knows your weaknesses. And one of the things to try to tempt you to take the carrot, do not bite the carrot, because once you bite it, you'll see the consequences of not doing things the right way. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord. Los planes de maldad son una abominación al Señor. ¿Ok? Ahora, ¿qué quiere decir esto? Pues quiere decir que tenemos que escoger nuestros caminos que vamos a tomar cada día, nuestras acciones, nuestras sendas, y ponérselas en las manos del Señor. Cuídanos, Señor, para caminar en rectitud. See, every day that you pick, you must choose the way of the Lord. If it's either a thought, a way to go, or an action, always say, Lord, let me follow what your word teaches me. Stay in the word, because in the word, what you do, your words are what? It says there in verse 26, right? It says, but pleasant words are pure. And how much more pleasant, more pure can the word of God be? There's nothing more pure. La palabra de Dios es algo muy agradable, muy preciosa, muy pura. Úsela. Vamos al Salmo 37, versículos 30 al 31. Let's go to Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. Psalms 37, verses 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. La boca del justo profiere sabiduría y su lengua habla rectitud. La ley de su Dios está en su corazón, no vacilan sus pasos. En otras palabras, no se resbala la persona que sigue en la palabra recta de Dios. The person who walks in obedience to the word of God will not slip. It'll speak with wisdom to bring out the right words to glorify God. Va a hablar con sabiduría para que no ande sus palabras causando daño al Señor, ¿verdad? Y su lengua, dice aquí, también el Señor la cuida del juicio. And the Lord also takes care of his tongue from judgment. If the law of God is in the heart, none of his steps shall slide, is what he's saying. Si la palabra de Dios está en su corazón firme, ninguno de sus pasos se resbalará. Y eso es lo más bonito que tenemos ya cómo vivir. Y este año nuevo hay que vivirlo en el modo que glorifica a Dios. See, this new year we got to live it in the way where it honors God. Put God's law in your heart. Keep flooding your heart with God's laws and his words. Y luego sigue, ¿verdad?, sumergiéndote en la palabra y las leyes del Señor para que estés empapado con hacerlo bien. Entre más tienes la palabra, más vas a cuidar tu resbalar. See, the more you have the word of God in your life, the more you're going to guard against sliding. ¿Cuántos de ustedes quieren una vida buena este año nuevo? How many of you want a good life this year? Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Satúrense en la palabra de Dios. Y van a ver cómo su vida va a ser llena de fruto del Señor. Y lo hay que quitarnos de las cosas que impiden de que estudiemos la palabra. See, then we have to remove the things that cause us to not study the Word, the obstacles. The things that are causing us not to spend time with God, those you got to get rid of. Las cosas que te causan de que no pases tiempo con el Señor, deshazte de esas cosas. Para que puedas glorificar al Señor. Miren el versículo 27 de Proverbios. Proverbs 15:27. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Perturba su casa al que tiene ganancias ilícitas, pero el que aborrece el soborno vivirá. Ya saben cómo es el enemigo, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que te dice aquí, ¿verdad? Que si estás queriendo tú por el egoísmo ganar algo, vas a traer problemas en tu casa porque no lo estás ganando correctamente. Right? The Bible says very clearly here, you will have trouble in your home if you are greedy of gain. Vas a tener problemas. You'd think you got a good deal, but the enemy was there in the midst of it. There's nothing good comes from trying to do things crookedly. Nada bueno te va a salir si vas a estar queriendo hacer las tranzas o las cosas chuecas. Tienes que tener cuidado. Don't be greedy. No seas egoísta. Ahora, ¿cómo te sanas del egoísmo? Te haces un dador. How do you get rid of greediness in your life? You become a giver. The more you become a giver, the more greediness will leave your presence. Entre más te haces un dador, más el egoísmo se desaparece. Cuando aprendes a sacrificar y dar, se te quita el egoísmo. The more you practice sacrificing and giving, the more you lose that greediness. Lose something that is precious to you, and you'll find out what I mean. Cuando pierdes algo precioso para ti, vas a ver dónde está tu corazón. Y ahí es donde vas a mirar, de veras tenía esta cosa como un ídolo. No debía de amar así. See, there's things that people idolize. And once they lose those things, then you will see where their heart is at. What did the Lord say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Donde está tu tesoro, ahí va a estar tu corazón. ¿Qué no? El Señor nos conoce. Y el diablo no para. Y muchas veces te pone cosas así para hacer unas cosas. Ahora me pasó algo así y dije, no, tengo que hacer lo correcto. No puedo ganar algo que yo sé que no vale lo que vale. Es más, tengo que pagar lo que vale. See, today I even had that test come upon me. And I was at a place and it looked like a missed tag, right? And it looks like, no, if I fight it, I'm going to win and I'll get the discount. I said, no, you do what's right. Whatever the value of that is, and you do it. Have you ever been tempted like that? And you want to just make a quick $3, $4, $5, and you say, well, if I do this, it'll work. No, it will not benefit you any. No te va a servir de nada. Tengan cuidado, ¿verdad? One of the things I want you to understand, greed is evil to the Lord. El egoísmo es maldad ante los ojos del Señor. Acuérdense. Una de las cosas, ¿cuántos se acuerdan de Acán en las Escrituras? How many of you remember Achan in the Bible? Right? One of the things is that the Israelites had just conquered the city of Jericho, right? And the Lord told them to leave all the spoils. Don't touch them. They're evil. Remember? ¿Cuántos se acuerdan de Acán cuando estaba y les dijo que conquistaron a Jericó? Y ahí les dice el Señor, no dejen nada de los, no agarren nada de los tesoros. Déjenlos. ¿Y qué hizo Acán? Se le antojó, ¿verdad? Por la avaricia. Vino y dijo, mira nomás, ese manto de Sinar, ¿verdad? Ese oro que está allí, esa plata que está allí, se me antojó. Y mira el daño que le trajo. If you remember Achan in the Bible, right? When he saw that Babylonian garment, the mantle of Shinar, and he saw the 200 shekels of silver, and he saw the wedge of gold. He says, man, I need that. And he didn't. And they had told him, none of that. Leave those treasures alone. And what did he do? He hid it, dug it underneath his bed, in his tent. And all of a sudden, the presence of God was gone. So when Israel would fight battles, they would lose. And so one of the things that happened there, Joshua fell on his face and was asking the Lord, what is going on? Why is everything going wrong? And he said, there's sin in the camp, remember? Y allí cuando estaba Josué de cara, ¿verdad? Dice, ¿qué está pasando? Estamos perdiendo las batallas ahora. ¿Qué pasó? Dice, hay pecado en el campo. ¿Y qué pasó cuando lo sacaron a flote? Un precio muy grande que pagar para Acán y su familia. And remember the price that was paid when Achan was found out. Tremendous consequences, right? Let's go to Joshua 7, verses 20 to 25. Vamos a Josué 7, 20 al 25. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle of Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them. And look at what he said right there. And took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. He dug it up. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. They took them from the inside of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan and the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him. And they were brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Was that gold worth it? To see all the family, and you go, man, that's kind of harsh, Pastor. Why would they do that? Because everything was given to idols. And that would infect the camp of Israel. And so God said, I can't be in a place like this. Those idols are no longer to be in your life. Get rid of them. And so this is why it was so harsh, because it would contaminate the rest of the camp. And notice what it did. Animals, children, everybody paid the price because of greed. And that's why greed is ugly. It has consequences for all the family and all the people around you. Okay, dice, y Acán respondió a Josué y dijo, en verdad he pecado contra el Señor, Dios de Israel, y esto es lo que le echó, que he hecho, perdón. Cuando vi entre el botín y un hermoso mantar del Sinar y 200 siclos de plata y una vara de oro del peso de 50 siclos, los codicié y los tomé, y he aquí, están escondidos en la tierra dentro de mi tienda con la plata debajo. Y Josué envió emisarios que fueron corriendo a la tienda, y he aquí, el manto estaba escondido en su tienda con la plata debajo. Y los sacaron de la tienda, los llevaron a Josué y a todos los hijos de Israel y los pusieron delante del Señor. Entonces Josué y con él todo Israel tomó a Acán, hijo de Zerá, y a la plata, el manto, la vara de oro, sus hijos, sus hijas, los bueyes, sus asnos, sus ovejas, su tienda y todo lo que le pertenecía. Y los llevaron al valle de Acor. Y Josué dijo, ¿por qué nos has turbado? El Señor te turbará hoy. Y todo Israel los apedreó y los quemaron después de haberlos apiedrado. Qué triste, ¿verdad? Para Acán, la avaricia no le trajo nada bueno. Y una de las cosas que la avaricia nunca trae algo bueno. One of the things that I want you to understand, it can happen to us. We can fall in this manner. And maybe we won't die now like he would kill them back then, or we won't get stoned. It's still wrong in the eyes of God, because it will bring bad consequences. En el día de hoy nos puede pasar lo mismo, estar codiciando, ay, qué manija el vecino. Y luego tu carro tirando humo donde quiera y ahí andas queriendo el carro del vecino porque el tuyo huma toda la vecindad. ¿Eh? No andes codiciando. Right? You may be one of those that you look at the neighbor's car and say, man, that's a nicer model than I have. I want that. He says, don't covet. Because one of the things that you will never have enough, you'll always covet something else. The true Christian knows how to live with things. And he is satisfied with everything he has. El verdadero cristiano está contento con todo lo que tiene. Si tiene o no, no le molesta. Paul, remember, did not say that there's contentment in great gain. Acuérdense que Pablo nunca dijo el contentamiento se encuentra cuando tienes gran ganancia. Nunca dijo eso. Mire lo que dijo. 1 Timoteo 6, del 6 a 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Let's go there. But godliness actually is a means of great gain, when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be what? Content. Pero la piedad en efecto es un medio de gran ganancia, cuando ya acompañada de contentamiento. Porque nada hemos traído al mundo, así que nada podemos sacar de él. Y si tenemos qué comer y con qué cubrirnos, con eso estaremos contentos. See, the true key in Christian life to be happy is to be satisfied with everything you have and to be content with what the Lord gives you. You lack nothing in Christ. Nunca te falta nada cuando estás en Cristo. Eso es la ganancia, cuando buscas primero la santidad, el reino de Dios. Estar contento con todo lo que tienes. See, when you're truly content, you seek God first, His kingdom, all the things that come with it, and then all these other things are just things. But we have everything we need when we're saved by the blood of Christ. Tenemos todo lo que necesitamos cuando somos salvos con la sangre del Señor. Look at another scripture he wrote that's powerful about this theme here on greed. Philippians 4, 10 to 12. Miren este tema aquí también de la avaricia. Dice Pablo esto, encarcelado, ¿verdad? And Paul says this when he's imprisoned. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Me alegraré grandemente en el Señor de que ya al fin habías reavivado vuestro cuidado para conmigo. En verdad, antes os preocupabas, pero os faltaba la oportunidad. No que hable porque tenga escasez, pues ha aprendido a contentarme cualquiera que sea mi situación. Sé vivir en pobreza, sé vivir en prosperidad. En todo y por todo he aprendido el secreto tanto de estar saciado como de tener hambre, de tener abundancia como de sufrir necesidad. Mire qué bonito escribe. Acuérdense, estaba en cárcel. Remember, Paul was in prison. And yet he says, look, I've learned the secret of always being happy is to be happy with what God gives me in any situation, in any circumstance. I will always have what I need when I am in Christ. We cannot be spoiled children and say, God, I need this, I want that. No, he wants you to say, thank you, Lord. I was seeing one of these interviews on TV about Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen about prosperity. And one of the things they were saying is that, why would God want you to be poor and miserable? He says, what kind of God is that? Right? And that has nothing to do with Scripture. That's opinion. The reason God tells us to live in these circumstances and be happy is because you never know how your life can change. A rich person can lose something overnight, everything, and end up with nothing, and their world will fall apart. But if you learn to be content when you have things and when you don't, and you're still blessed, No matter how hard times get here on earth, you're going to be able to overcome all these situations trusting in God. The rich person that loses everything, their world shatters. But for the Christian, it's more molding that's taking place to purify us to become more Christ-like. But many people can lose their treasures overnight and they'll break apart. But the Christian understands, when I have it, great. When I don't, that's beautiful. Cuando tengo, qué precioso. Cuando no tengo, no le hace. Porque mi Dios no cambia. Entonces, alabado sea su nombre, ¿verdad? Y yo sé que tener y no tener. Y lo más bonito es que nunca estoy vacío cuando tengo a Cristo. How many of you have gone through hunger pains recently? How many have you been naked? We all have what we need. How many of us have homes? We have what we need. Todos tenemos lo que necesitamos. Nunca estamos desnudos, estamos gorditos. Mire, si no me creen, ya se cansaron del menudo y los tamales, ¿qué no? Todo lo que tenemos, mucha bendición. Y cuando tenemos, hay. Cuando no hay, estamos contentos. Alabado sea el nombre del Señor. Ok, so remember our points. Vamos a mirarnos tus puntos. Seek after the eternal things that bring honor to Him, not the temporary things that this world offers. Busca las cosas eternas que honran al Señor, no las cosas temporales, esas se acaban. Punto número dos. Point number two, seek to honor Him with your words of life. Always remember to use Scripture to be encouraged. Always. Busca honrarlo con palabras de vida. Todo el tiempo dile al Señor, te alabo, te quiero, te adoro, porque sé que tú me has dado todo lo que tengo. Y sin ti perdido estoy. Y es bonito. Luego el último punto que les quiero dejar. Este es nuestro segundo punto, perdón. Busquen a honrar al Señor con sus palabras de vida. Okay, so, seek to honor the Lord with words of life. Let's go to verses 28 and 29. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. El corazón del justo medita cómo responder, mas la boca de los impíos habla lo malo. El Señor está lejos de los impíos, pero escucha la oración de los justos. Okay, I want you to see this here. When we honor the Lord with our words, one of the things that you understand is that you're honoring Him in ways that glorifies your Father. Cuando usas palabras de vida, estás honrando a tu Padre. ¿Verdad? Y una de las cosas que nosotros, cuando miramos esto, tus palabras deben de honrar a Dios. Our words must honor the Lord at all times. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Satanás, sean gratas las palabras de mi boca y la meditación de mi corazón delante de ti, oh Señor, roca mía y redentor mío. One of the things about using our words, we have to think of what we're going to say before we say it as Christians. Why? The world speaks out of foolishness and they hurt many people. Hay mucha gente que habla, ¿verdad?, y no piensa antes de hablar, y por eso lastiman al Señor. Pero dice, si cuidas tus palabras y cómo salen, vas a edificar a tu Señor. El mundo no hace eso, habla y dice tonterías, y ahí andan después lastimando a gente. Y saben que el silencio es algo bueno a veces. Silence is good every once in a while. We don't need to be heard. No tenemos que ser oídos todo el tiempo. El silencio es algo donde estamos bajo meditando de lo que Dios quiere ser y cómo debemos de hablar. See, we have to speak knowing what God is trying to do. I want to give you an example, and I think this will be a good illustration for you. If you've ever been in a steam room, how many of you have been in a steam room, in a spa? ¿Cuántos de ustedes han estado en un salón, verdad, cuando van al gimnasio que tiene vapor, verdad? ¿Qué pasa cuando le abres la puerta al cuartito? Se sale el vapor, ¿verdad? Y lo cierras, se queda el vapor adentro. What happens to that gym, to that room where you have that steaming going on when you open the door? All the steam leaves, right? You close the door and it stays inside, right? That's one of the things that you have to understand about when you speak. Sometimes it's okay to keep the steam in. You don't need to let it out. You need to keep the steam in, and then meditate where it comes out correctly. It's like every time you're in a steam room, I want you to think about how you speak. Don't let the steam come out because somebody irritated you or something didn't go your way, and all of a sudden you spew out the steam that has nothing to do with glorifying God. Así debemos de ser nosotros cuando nos hacen irritar o enojar. Guarde su puerta, déjela cerrada para que se quede retro. Si la abres, cuando sale y el daño que causan esas palabras, van a lastimar a mucha gente. Cuando eres tentado de perderla, quédate en silencio. Porque así te está guardando el Señor y te está protegiendo. Remember, when you guard your words, God is protecting you. And he's shielding you from saying something that you'll regret. See, when we open our mouths and we have steam behind it, I guarantee you we're going to cause God shame. When it's not under control, it's going to hurt the Lord. Si tenemos que hablar y son tonterías, vamos a lastimar al Señor y a otros, right? And so, what if we share good things? What if it's good steam, Pastor? Right? ¿Qué si es buen vapor, Pastor? ¿Que no debo de compartirlo? That's not the case usually. That is rarely the case. No es la causa regularmente. No se anden decepcionando. Right? Keep that steam, that anger inside. Meditate on what you're going to speak. And those words will bring honor to the Lord. Okay? So don't do the wicked things wicked people do. And don't speak the way wicked people do. You're not that way anymore. Remember, if you want God close to you, you have to stay close to God as well, right? And one of the things, we need to choose to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Tenemos que escoger caminar en el Espíritu y no en la carne. And we need to resist that temptation to mess up and speak words that tear down instead of building up. Tenemos que guardar las palabras que tumban en vez de edificar. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. Vamos a Gálatas 5. Versículo 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Digo pues, andar por el Espíritu y no cumplirás el deseo de qué? De la carne. No puedes estar hablando en la manera que glorifica al Señor si no estás en el Espíritu. See, if you're not in the Spirit, you're going to do things like this and burst out with anger and do things that are in the flesh. God says, look, keep that stuff away from you and from me. Honor me with the way you speak, right? One of the things is you need to stay away from that wickedness. And the only way you can stop walking in that wickedness is by submitting to the Lord in the Spirit. Si te sometes al Señor en el Espíritu, vas a caminar en maneras, que vas a tú honrar al Señor. Tienes que deshacer las cosas de maldad en tu vida. You have to get rid of the things that cause you to do evil in your life and separate from them. That includes phones, computers, whatever it takes that causes you to trip. Eso incluye teléfonos, computadoras, cualquier cosa que te hace trompezar, échalo fuera, dice el Señor. The Lord says, throw it out. None of these things are worth it. Now, how do you fight that? Well, you keep your Bible close, and you meditate on the Word of God, and you have that Bible all the time near you so that you can access it. Use it as often as possible so that you do walk in the Spirit. Usa la Biblia más para que camines en el Espíritu. See, one thing that happens is God grows distant when we're living that kind of life. Cuando no estamos viendo la vida buena, se aleja el Señor de nosotros. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Lo opuesto pasa cuando andamos cercano a Él. And the opposite happens when we are walking close with Him. Look at James 4:8. Vamos a Santiago 4:8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Can't go back and forth. In other words, make your commitment. Are you going to choose life or choose hell or death, right? ¿Escoger la vida o la muerte? Dice, acercaos a Dios y Él se acercará a vosotros. Limpiar vuestras manos, pecadores, y vosotros de doble ánimo. Purificar vuestros corazones. No puedes tener doble ánimo. No puedes estar un día con el Señor bien y el otro decir tontería y media. No trabaja. You cannot be close to God one day and be living your life of the flesh the next. It doesn't work that way. We're either all in, committed, and trusting God to lead us. We'll make mistakes, don't get me wrong, but right away you correct them. Cuando haces errores, rápidamente los corriges para que te arrimes otra vez al Señor. Amén. All right, so let's look at our points. Seek after the eternal things that bring him honor. Point number one. Busca las cosas eternas que honran al Señor. Punto número uno. Seek to honor him with the words of life. Busca honrarlo con palabras de vida. Y luego por fin. And lastly, seek to honor him with righteous ears. Busca honrarlo con oídos justos. And let's go to verses 30 to 33 and we'll close for today. Y vamos a los versículos 30 al 33 y cerramos el sermón de ahora. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes what? Humility. La luz de los ojos alegra el corazón y las buenas noticias fortalecen los huesos. El oído que escucha las reprensiones de la vida morará entre los sabios. El que tiene en poco la disciplina se desprecia a sí mismo, mas el que escucha las reprensiones adquiere entendimiento. El temor del Señor es instrucción de sabiduría. Y antes de la gloria está que la humildad, ¿verdad? Entonces, ¿verdad? Mire lo que dice. Que si tú quieres mirar algo precioso, dice en el versículo 30 aquí, la luz de los ojos alegra el corazón. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Have you ever noticed that when you go and you see someone's eyes that are full of joy, they kind of get infected, it's infectious? As far as seeing them, they kind of encourage you. That's what he's saying is, when your eyes are closed with the Lord and you're with the Lord, your eyes of joy will inspire other people around you. Cuando tú tienes los ojos del Señor, ¿verdad? De gozo que te da, y gente mira eso, vas a animar a mucha gente alrededor de ti. And look at what he says. He says on the verse, right? Una de las cosas que dice bonita, la luz de los ojos alegra el corazón. What about the eyes of your children when they're small and young and even growing, when they're full of joy of the Lord? What does that do to you as a parent? Brings a lot of joy in your heart when you know they're walking with God, right? One of the things I've noticed with Satan and the way he works, when he's pulling children away from us parents, their eyes change. I don't know if you've noticed that. But their eyes are not the eyes of the children we raised. And one of the things that happens is you see the eyes where they're full of rebellion, hard-heartedness, because Satan has been working on them. And one of the things you see, their change. Una de las cosas que se me hace interesante, cuando el enemigo le pega a nuestros hijos, los ojos de ellos cambian. No sé si se han fijado. Tan llenos de rebelión, tan duros, ¿verdad? Está fríos. Pero cuando andan caminando con el Señor, qué gozo nos da como padres. Mira, este ya anda prendido, ¿verdad? Ya le agarró ella. Eso es una cosa que dice, trae un gozo tremendo cuando mira los ojos que están llenos del Señor. Pero también lo más triste es cuando mira los ojos cuando están llenos de rebelión. No sé si lo han pasado como padres, pero me ha pegado a mí directamente con mis hijos, ¿verdad? Y muchas veces se pone uno tan triste. Pero sabemos que no luchamos contra sangre ni carne, sino contra el enemigo. No se den, sigan orando, sigan peleando y se vuelven esos ojos para atrás. Ya cuando los miras, este es mi hijo que yo crecí desde chiquito, ¿verdad? These are the kids that I raised. When you see the change, their eyes change when they come back to the Lord. They may have a prodigal moment or a time or a season, but God will return them back and you'll notice the change in the eyes. And this is what he's saying here. Okay, bright eyes gladden the heart. Los ojos, ¿verdad?, de alegría, alegran el corazón. Okay, so one of the things I want you to see is in verses 31 and 32. Miren las cosas en los versículos 31 y 32. 31 y 32 en Proverbios, ¿verdad? Dice, he whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. El oído que escucha las reprensiones de la vida morará entre los sabios. One of the things about correction, right? That's what reproof is. When you get corrected by the Lord. The person who knows how to take correction will grow and mature. This is good for the young people to hear here, that are here. Don't harden your heart against correction from your parents. They're doing the right thing for you. At first you may say, oh man, they're on my case all the time. They always want me to do this and that. They're a drag. I wish they'd get with the program. But when they're seeing the things that God gives them for you in Scripture, it's for your good. When you learn to take correction and do it right, not trying to circumvent, oh, I may be right now taking it, but inside I'm mad at you. Right? This is one of the things that you have to learn. Correction is part of our life, even as grown-ups. God corrects us as parents when we mess up. And we have to also take it so that we can grow and mature. It's a process for all of us. And that's what keeps us in check. The more we learn to take correction, the more the Lord says, now you're learning and you've passed this test. Now let's go to the next one. But it bears fruit. Remember, nobody likes to be corrected at first, but eventually it brings forth fruit, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to go to verse 11. Hebreos 12:11 nos dice, ¿verdad?, que cuando aprendemos a tomar corrección y reprensión de parte del Señor, seguimos creciendo. Así como hijos que están aquí, jóvenes y hijas jóvenes, aprendan a recibir la corrección para que sigan creciendo y madurando en el Señor. No se endurezcan contra sus padres. No les digan, ay, mis padres son más cabezones. No entienden. Usted reciba su corrección y glorifique al Señor y ve cómo va a crecer. Porque el Señor nos corrige a nosotros como adultos también. Y nos da buenas nalgadas para aprender. Y si la tomamos en bien, vamos a crecer y madurar al siguiente nivel. ¿Verdad? But notice what it says in Hebrews 12:11. Vamos a Hebreos 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of what? Righteousness. Al presente, ninguna disciplina parece ser causa de gozo, sino de tristeza. Sin embargo, a los que han sido ejercitados por medio de ella, les da después fruto apacible de justicia. See, at first it doesn't feel good, guys. And I used to wear out my parents all the time. So I'm telling you from experience. They got tired of correcting me when I was a youngster. But I learned how to take discipline. And when you learn, you understand, even more now in the Lord, it's essential. Nobody likes to do it at first. We're not looking out. Remember, as parents, okay, let's bust them. You know, let's investigate right away, because I'm not happy. If they're not getting spanked, I'm not happy. Most parents would say, I want to let you go. I don't want to correct you. But every time something comes up, why do we need correction? So we won't do it again, right? And this is one of the issues. You will start noticing how mature you get by the way you're taking correction. If you learn from it, correct your mistakes, then you're going to be trusted by God with bigger things. If you harden your heart, guess what? Take another lap around the desert, just like Israel, right? Another lap. But once you understand it and you submit to God, then you say, God, thank you for my correction. May I have another? No, not really. You learn and you take it and you say, that's it. I have to change. If I'm going to mature, I have to start at one point. It's better to start earlier. You know why? You don't go through as much correction. Learn from your parents. They got corrected by God as well. And they can tell you, it's not fun at first, but it bears that peaceful fruit afterwards. The more you submit to the correction of the Lord, the more you're going to grow and be used of God mightier. Vas a poder ser usado por Dios más grandemente. And look at verse 33 of Proverbs, and we'll close with this. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. El temor del Señor es instrucción de sabiduría y antes de la gloria está la humildad. All of us should have reverence for God. Todos debemos de tener reverencia para Dios. Por eso el mundo está como está. Ya perdieron la reverencia de Dios, el temor a Dios. Why is the world as bad as it is? They've lost the fear of the Lord. And because they've lost the fear of the Lord, right? They don't understand that He is a God who created everything we see and don't see. He's the God you don't mess with. But they've lost that reverence now because in His patience and because of the indoctrination of the world in the educational system, kids have been bombarded into rebellion and self-sufficiency, humanism. And because of that humanism, they think they don't need a God. But that's where all the damages come. When the fear of God is lost, God has to come in and correct. And when He does, He will bring justice once and for all. You must fear God as a Christian. Tienes que temer al Señor como su hijo o hija, como un creyente. See, one of the things that I want you to understand, when you trust God and you fear God, it's not a fear like the horror movies. You know how people pay lots of money to get scared out of their mind? They pay these tickets at the movies to see Satan and all the ugly creatures in there. That's not the fear that God is saying. People pay to get scared. It's weird, but people get into these horror movies. The reverence for God, the fear of God, is one of reverence. Well, you know who you're in the presence of, holiness. But you see all these people today in the world, they're spending money. Man, you want to get scared? Come to me, pay me, and I'll do something to scare you. You know? But they're so lost. The one they should fear is the Lord. And yet they're right in the presence of Satan all the time. Isn't that weird? And they'll be in that place of eternal torment one day. Choose life, choose death. Qué tremendo es el enemigo, cómo ha decepcionado a la gente de perder temor a Dios. Pero así lo miramos en el día de hoy. One of the things is when you see this and you come before the Lord, honor Him with your ears. Honralo con tus oídos. Escucha lo que está diciendo en sus palabras. Ten reverencia sobre Él y no pierdas ese temor para el Señor. God is the only one worthy to be feared. And no one else. Let's go to Psalm 66, verses 1 through 7. Vamos al Salmo 66, versículos 1 al 7. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praises glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Because of the greatness of Your power, Your enemies will give fiend obedience to You. All the earth will worship You and will sing praises to You, and they will sing praises to Your name, Selah. In other words, meditate on this. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in His deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Let us rejoice in Him. He rules by His might forever, and His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Isn't that what the world is doing? Right now they're exalting themselves. Aclamar con júbilo a Dios toda la tierra. Cantar la gloria de su nombre, hacer gloriosa su alabanza. Decir a Dios cuán portentosas son tus obras. Por la grandeza de tu... Okay, let me go back. Por la grandeza de tu... poder. Me la cambiaron rápido. Tus enemigos fingirán obedecerte. Gracias. Toda la tierra te adorará y cantará alabanzas a ti, y cantará alabanzas a tu nombre. Selah. Meditar en esto. Venir y ver las obras de Dios, admirable en sus hechos a favor de los hijos de los hombres. Convirtió el mar en tierra seca y cruzaron el río a pie. Regocijémonos allí en Él. Él domina con su poder para siempre. Y sus ojos velan sobre las naciones. No se enaltecerán los rebeldes. Selah. En el mundo ahora hay mucho rebelde. y se está ensalzando, pero no tiene el temor del Dios que secó el río inmediatamente para que Israel cruzara. También, ¿verdad? El mar cuando lo cruzó, ¿verdad? Moisés y el pueblo, también seco, también el río Jordán. Ese es el Dios que servimos. See, our God has not changed. He's the God who dries the Red Sea, the God who will dry, who has dried the Jordan River. And he's the God who does not change. He's the creator of everything that we have. And yet people have lost that fear. As a Christian, don't lose that fear. Always remember who you serve. Todo el tiempo acuérdate en a quién sirves. Su poder está eterna. His power is forever. And one of the things when you see who the God who made you is, what is impossible for him to do in your life? ¿Qué es imposible para que Dios haga algo en tu vida? Nada. So no pierdas ese temor porque te recuerdas, para mi Dios nada es imposible. See, don't lose that fear of God because it teaches you nothing is impossible for our God. Exalt the Lord in your life. And understand, he's seated in power and authority. He's not going anywhere. Él está sentado en autoridad. Él no va a ningún otro lugar. And yes, bow to the Lord in reverence. Póstrate ante el Señor en humildad. Porque no hay otro Dios como Él. Él es temible y poderoso. Our God is powerful, man. He's not going anywhere. Exalt the Lord. Choose life over death. Escojan vida sobre muerte. Amén. Vamos a ponernos de pie. I'd like the worship group to come up. People in rebellion are heading toward hell. La gente que está en rebelión se va rumbo a la destrucción, al infierno. Pero los hijos de Dios no pueden perder ese temor porque van a caer en pecado. Do not lose that fear of God, you will fall into sin. Always revere the Lord. Tengan reverencia para el Señor y caminen en rectitud and walk in righteousness. Amen. Just because he's good, we don't abuse his goodness. No nomás porque es bueno, vamos a abusar su bondad. Amen. Hay que caminar en justicia. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to understand, Father, the decisions we make in this world are only two that are major, and that is where we choose to live eternity in, either in life with you in heaven or in death with the enemy. Help people understand that you want everyone to go to heaven. You want none to perish. And help us live those lives, Father, where we have everything focused on you and that our life is centered on you so that we will continue walking in your ways and we will continue walking, Father, in those paths that you have set before us to bring you glory. I pray for everyone here this new year to keep focused, to keep going straight, Father, down the path of your word so that, Father, they will be truly blessed and continue to be blessed by you. And I pray they will never leave you. Father, they will never stray from you. That they will always commit their lives to you so that they will bear much fruit here on earth and one day in heaven they will be rewarded for staying faithful to you, Lord. Señor, cuida de tu pueblo. Señor, que sigan fieles a permanecer hasta el fin, que caminen en tus sendas de justicia, que no se aparten de ti, para que un día reciban los premios que tú tienes para ellos. Bendícelos grandemente, cuídalos en el hueco de tus manos poderosas y que, Señor, salgan de aquí diferente que como entraron. Father, I pray that you will guard everyone, Father. Keep them safe in the palms of your mighty hand, that everyone leave different than when they came in, and that, Father, you will continue to reward them for being, Father, faithful servants to the mighty King. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Dios los bendiga. Buenas noches.